been writing to the Romans and he's been saying things like, we're a sinful lot. Well, we know that, Lord. God shows his anger from heaven against sinful, wicked people. No excuse for not knowing God. Minds become dull and confused, claiming to be wise. They're fools. They do those things and deserve to die. And you think, oh Lord, what's happening? You condemn people, but you're just as bad. There are those who live for themselves, refuse the truth, and live lives of wickedness. And then suddenly we get this new passage. And this passage tells us that all is not lost. Yes, we are all those things that Paul's told us about. We are wicked. We are foolish. We don't love God as we ought to. But, you know, years and years ago in the Pentecostal church in Bedford, where I used to worship with my friend Sandy, the pastor preached a sermon which lasts nearly an hour, because Pentecostals like to talk, you know, all on the buts of God. But God. And here we've got a but God. Yes, we are all those things that Paul said we are. We're a miserable lot. But God. You could look a bit happier. You are Baptists, not Anglicans. We can make way for the rainbow and the light because God has it in his power and in his will and in his joy to bring us out of this gloom and doom and say, but God, wonderful, but God still loves me and God still loves you. So God still loves us. We are all those things, but God still loves us. He says, can we boast about anything that we have done? Anything to be accepted by God? We live in a world where we're only valued for what we own, what we have, what we are, what we do. But God values us just as we are. And that's really wonderful. Because when I got saved, I was only 13, but I was not a very nice person. And I was rude to the teachers, and I was arrogant, and all sorts of really nice things. And I always hoped that I never got a child in my class like me. So most religions require specific duties to be made acceptable to their God. Christianity is unique in that no good deed that we can do can make us right with God. And that's wonderful because we don't need to strive. Years ago we used to sing a song, I will make my way among you. Do not strive. Do not strive. I remember singing it in the Baptist church on the hill years ago. Do not strive. We don't have to strive because God has made a way. Christianity is unique in that no good deed can make us right with God. Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10 says, God saves you by his grace when you believe. You can't take the credit. It's a gift from God. We can't boast because it's a gift from God. Satan pays wages, but God gives gifts. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Good works come after we become Christians, not to earn our way to heaven, but to be thankful for a God who loves us, no matter what we are like. God's grace is the only way out of our predicament of sin. Salvation isn't a do-it-yourself project, but it's a rescue effort. When someone breaks the law, it's recorded, and even years later, people can go into their, whatever it is they keep, the police, and there are their crimes still recorded. I know this because I watch a lot of murder mysteries. But you know, when God forgives, he obliterates it. It's gone. Corrie ten Boom used to say, God takes your sins and he throws them in the deepest sea, and then he puts up a sign that says no fishing. And that's good, isn't it? God never goes fishing. He's not a fisherman, our God. He doesn't bring back the things we've done. When we say, oh Lord, we've done this again, he says, done what again? Because God is a God of grace. God's grace is their only way out of our predicament of sin. But when Christ forgives, the record is wiped clean. So what's grace then? Well, some say it's undeserved favour, and that's true, but it's so much more. Sin confessed, sin wiped out. Do we deserve it? No. Why is it like this? Out of love, because God loves the sinner, because he loved me. And I wasn't a very nice person, so I hope I've changed a bit since I was 13. Oh, thank you. Sin confessed is sin wiped out. I like this. God doesn't love us just for our money, for our talents, our good works. He desires us for us. He wants more. He wants a relationship. He doesn't just want people with lip service. He wants a relationship. You remember Adam in the garden? And it says God walked in the garden in the evening. I wonder what they talked about. I've often wondered about that. What do you think God talked about with Adam? Did he say, I saw a little space in the universe, so I thought I'd put another lot of stars there? What did Adam talk about? Well, I just went to see the lions this morning because they've got some cubs. And I wonder what they talked about before it was all spoiled. In chapter 4, Paul uses Abraham as an example of a man of faith, believing God's promise even when it seemed ridiculous. He was 100 years old and his wife was 90. And yet God had promised them a child, and he believed it. I'm hoping God won't say that to me. God always does what he promises. So God counted him as righteous. And this wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, but for us too. If he counted Abraham as righteous, then if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, we are counted as righteous too. Jesus was raised to life to make us right with God. And Paul says if there's no resurrection, then of all people, we are most miserable. But I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. We sang it this morning. When the lion awoke and the body came to life and he came out of the tomb. I always say the stone was rolled away from the tomb not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. So we could see the grave clothes there, and we would know that our Saviour had risen from the dead, and he was glorious, and it was going to be that he was going to be with us forever. He was never going to die again. We're all going to die, some of us earlier than others, I think. And we're just talking about our lovely sister this morning. But Jesus is never going to die again. He's always going to be our Saviour. He's always going to be with us. He was raised to life to make us right with God. So what would a world look like without the grace of God, without this wonderful Jesus of ours, without the chance of getting right with God, without the chance of walking with him, without the chance of talking to him, without the chance of being made clean and righteous? What would the world look like? Well, we can see a bit of what the world would look like now, can't we? When people behave in dreadful ways, and when they kill each other, or when they stand on each other to get where they want to be in their careers and in their lives. We read about it in the newspapers. We hear about it on the television. But God values us just for us. Just as we are. Oh, that's so thrilling. We don't have to be anything other than us. That's right, isn't it, Ness? Yes, yes. We are. During a British conference on comparative religions, experts from around the world debated what, if any, belief was unique to the Christian faith. They began eliminating all possibilities. Incarnation, other religions had gods appearing in human form. Resurrection, other religions had accounts of rising from the dead. The debate continued until C.S. Lewis wandered into the room. "What are you debating about?" they told him. "Oh, that's easy," he said. "It's grace. It's grace. What we have, we are given freely. It cost Jesus all that he had, but we get it for free. He's given it to us freely. It's grace. I don't understand it. I don't understand how God could love us just as we are, but he does. I don't understand how he could let his son die on the cross that I might be delivered, but he did. And it's grace. Jesus died that I might live." We're so blessed by God's all-encompassing, generous, almost unbelievable grace that we can be free from fear, guilt, and a sense of unworthiness, cleansiness, no matter what. Some have said, if this is so, then we can do what we like and just keep on coming back for forgiveness. But Romans 6 and verse 1 says, "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us how much more of his wonderful grace he has? Of course not." In the King James Version, it says, "God forbid. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we were joined with him in his death? Sin is no longer our master. For you, we no longer live under the requirements of the law, instead under the freedom of God's grace." Exciting, liberating, a life with Jesus. Enjoy it. Amen. And I'm not a true Pentecostal preacher because I haven't done half an hour.